Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Atitula alongside Chris Partee, who is in for a snowed-in John Lopez. And then Colin Neal on the ones and twos in for Figgy Fig, who I believe is still dealing with his flu time off.
Yeah.
I think that he's feeling better, though.
You think so?
Yeah.
Should we call him too? No, I'm sorry.
Get Figgy on the phone. Go ahead and call Figgy right quick. Get Figgy on the phone. Let's
sorry,
check on
Fig.
Him. No, we're just calling people now.
We're just going to call anybody now.
We're just going to call anybody and everybody during the show today. Real snow day vibes. I feel like I'm leaning heavily into the snow day vibes of it all. So we just want to make sure.
I'm all for it.
All right. Very good.
I'm with it.
All right. So get Figgy on the phone and we'll get a well check on him on air.
A wellness check.
That's right.
On air wellness check.
On air well check to see how he is. All right. This has been a conversation that I feel like has been brewing for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to solve it in one segment by any means.
But
right?
We're going to try.
Okay. I like the perspective on it. Right. The question that comes up is that should the Texans change the system, right? And of course, in asking that, you're indirectly asking, should Bobby Slowick still be the offense coordinator of this team? We heard yesterday in the opening statement, as if to just ward off all the questions that would inevitably come, that honestly still came in some areas. But D'Amico Ryan started off by saying that, hey, you have D'Amico Ryans here. Let's start there. I realize that I probably should just play the audio instead of telling you about the audio. But D'Amico Ryans' opening statement from the press conference yesterday, because, I mean, he immediately set the tone for, like, the time frame and what he is dealing with right this moment when it comes to personnel and staff decisions.
Be a lot of questions about, you know, staffing players and all those things. Just want to let you guys know that I'll take the week to make those decisions on staffing and all those things. So before everybody gets started, just want to let you guys know that.
Okay. Right. So he tried to get that out the way. So he's at least going to be a week. I imagine that
at least
come next Monday, there'll be someone that's like, hey, D'Amico. I don't know. I don't even know how they be getting at him, but just, hey, D'Amico.
What's the deal?
At the grocery store. Hey, D'Amico.
What's happening?
Where we at? But first and foremost, like, do you feel like there should be a change? And I have some audio that I think will be interesting in the idea of if this changes the perspective on it at all. No, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I had some audio.
My bad.
That's my bad on setting it up.
It's all good. Yeah. There should definitely be some changes, but personally, I'm bringing Bobby Slowick back. And I know people don't want to hear that.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and move out your way. I'm going to let you, so that if anybody, 713-572-4610.
I know they're going to get at me. But hear me out.
Okay.
We've seen, it's been 2 years with him as the offensive coordinator.
That's right.
The first year was magnificent, right? Now, I get it that he's taking a step back in terms of calling this offense and preparing this offense. But I think they can get back to that. Now, there does need to be some changes scheme-wise. And I think the way you go into this is, if there's any reluctance on Mr. Slowick's part to make changes to the offense, then he's got to go. He's got to be open to constructive criticism, as we all need to be in all of our jobs or whatever we're doing in life. Open to constructive criticism when you hit a few road bumps, few hiccups, whatever it may be. So no, I would bring him back. I just think 2 years is too soon to just throw everything out and start over again. I don't think you want to get into that cycle of, you know, running through offensive coordinators with your young quarterback, because we see it a lot in the NFL.
It's interesting that
you've seen it too many times.
Right.
I don't think you want to start down that path just yet.
It's interesting that you brought that up, because one Peyton Manning, who was on Kevin Clark's podcast on ESPN, And he brought up a similar thing, and I was wondering, does this give anyone pause, especially the folks who immediately are in the, you know, Dump Slowik train of thought? Here's that man.
You're exactly right. It's got to be an organizational plan, okay? I mean, it bothers me that Bryce Young is already on his third play caller,
yeah,
and he's only played, you know, two seasons, right? Caleb Williams is going to be on his third play caller sometime next September, and that to me, that's a miss, right? If we're going to draft this guy, okay, who's the head coach going to be? The coordinator, this is the system we're going to run. If the coordinator leaves and takes a head coaching job, I want the guy that's replacing him shadowing him 24/7. He's riding to work with him. He's eating breakfast with him. Maybe sleeps in the same room. It's kind of awkward with the coordinator's wife, whether she wants somebody laying on the floor. But I want them there the whole time so that quarterback doesn't have to learn a new system every single year. I think Baker Mayfield had to learn 5 systems in 4 years. Alex Smith, 6 systems in 6 years. Tom Brady had the same system his whole career. Yeah. I had the same system my first 14 years in Indy. There's a reason that you know, going back to those reps. And so, yes, you're exactly right. It's more than just – it's an organizational plan. What is the best way to develop this guy? Don't make him learn Latin, German, and French all in the first 2 years. That's not fair.
I hate how charismatic Peyton Manning is.
Very. He is. He just oozes charisma.
He does. He does. He really does. But, I mean, I think his point is in line with yours, the idea of, hey, man, the idea of making too many changes early. I don't know that this a move away from Bobby Slowik would quite fall into that
really?
Bucket. Yeah, man. I know the first 2 years of, you know, the first 2 years of having C.J. Stroud in this system is what it is, right? You have this level of comfort that he has with it, but it would not necessarily be the same as in year 1 and year 2 and year 3, like having a whole bunch of times. And I think C.J. Stroud is developing as a quarterback. That was some of the, I feel like that was some of the struggles that you saw this past season, was like a level of growth. I know that he would be comfortable. He even spoke about such, like being comfortable being with Bobby Slowik another year. But I would hate more than having him have to learn more often is having him have to shoulder too much responsibility that your play caller and your coordinator should be taking off of him with the scheme that you have. And that was the big issue for me with Bobby Slowik this year. Some of that was offensive line. In fact, a lot of that was offensive line issues as well. But it also felt like there weren't enough answers being given by the scheme that you had there. And they're also in the midst of having a regression after your first year, which I think it is Seth Payne that says this very well. I think he coined it, or he, you know, kind of phrased it in a way that really clicked with me, is last year's offense with this Texas team was promising. It wasn't inherently flatly good. And so if you have a promising offense, what you need to have after that is an offense that is an improving offense. What you had this year was an offense that was not improving. It was an offense that was at best stagnant.
That's very
and
true.
Maybe regressed from a promising offense. Yeah. That feels like that's problematic. And in addition to that, it did not feel imaginative. So at least you could go, okay, well, there was risks in there. It felt like it was a regressing offense and an offense that also was not like particularly, I don't know, it didn't reach for the stars in some way.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm hearing is you don't think that with Bobby Slowik at the helm next year they can recover and get back on track, you know, I guess more similar to what we saw in year 1 with him and CJ Stroud.
Well, in year 1 you didn't really scheme up a good run game. In year 2 you didn't really scheme up a good run game either. You just had Joe Mixon. And this is a offensive philosophy, especially like the bare bones Shanahan offense that Bobby Slowik calls, as opposed to some of these other Shanahan based offenses that have concepts built upon them, right? It's incumbent upon running. And again,
that's true.
Running the football, we come back around. Like, these things are inextricably linked, rather. Yeah. Running the football depends on offensive line. You did not have good offensive line play. I understand that makes this evaluation tough, but it's rare in football where you are going to isolate the variable completely. That was one of the things, and maybe I need to put a dollar in the bucket by bringing this up. When I was in Dallas dealing with Jason Garrett, remember the Cowboys kept Jason Garrett for 10 whole years, and it was evident to everybody outside the Cowboys that Jason Garrett, not a particularly great coach, fine, right? They'd be like 8-8 or whatever.
After year five, he needed to go.
Everybody knew it, right? Around the league, and everybody was happy. Everybody was happy that the Cowboys kept making that dumbass decision because there you go, right? But, like, it's because in that situation, they kept doing the thing where it's like, oh, well, there's this one thing that happened, and there's this injury that happened. Yeah. And it's like, you're not going to isolate the variable completely. You have to be able to make an educated, you know, decision and an educated estimation based off of what you can see. I don't know that you, and you can isolate the variable here, I guess. Like, you could make sure to get this offensive line better and bring Bobby Slowick back, but at what cost, right? The young, cost-controlled quarterback in a situation where you've brought in, you have young talent that is developing around him, plus you've brought in veteran talent that honestly looks like they could compete at a high level, right? With all the things that we've talked about, bad offensive line, a scheme that feels like it is not imaginative and at least is not progressing. You were competing with a, you know, back-to-back champion and a team that is playing at a high level, you know, one-loss football team for three quarters. Imagine if you get that to be better. And so I'm like, look, man, this feels like the instance where you absolutely move on. Now you have to make sure that you get the right guy and to see, fill in the, on the other side of that.
Yeah, that's the thing right there. I mean, I just feel like, let's say the Texans do go ahead and get rid of Bobby Slowick. I feel like you are almost setting a precedent that if it's not looking great after 2 years, we're just going to keep trying to replace that guy. You know what I mean? Like, the offense keeps struggling. Now, after 2 years, I feel like you're kind of setting a precedent there. And then again, like Peyton Manning talked about, and, you know, it holds a lot more weight when he says it than when I say it. But I'm on the same track as Peyton in, you don't want to look up in 5 years and CJ's had four different coordinators.
Yeah.
That's not a track you want to be on. That's not a winning track. It's just not. And that's not helping his development, for one. I mean, we talk about all the other things, you know, offensive line, running game. But we know in the NFL, if you don't have that quarterback, you're not winning the Super Bowl at this point.
Correct.
We're far removed from the NFL where you can have your defense just take you to the promised land all the way. Just on defense and not being able to really do anything on offense. We're far removed from that. The Eagles have a great defense, but they still have a really good offense. They have the quarterback.
They run the ball really well.
And they run the ball really well. And I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is a top five quarterback, but he's good, though. He's a good quarterback.
What are you saying about Notch playing?
but that's what I'm getting at. No, you got to have that quarterback. And if you're switching up offensive coordinators every 2, possibly 3 years at most, his development and his growth is stunning, in my opinion. And Peyton Manning, you know, pointed to that.
Yeah.
Flat out said it.
I feel like what also stunts him is not having the level of experience necessary. Because one of the things that you have to remember here is it's not just an offensive coordinator position in a vacuum. It's an offensive coordinator with the defensive head coach, which means that you out there as the man on offense, right? Like, you don't have anybody offering a certain level of guidance on this. And I know that kind of like the OG is supposed to be with Bill Lazor, kind of that offensive assistant there. But I don't know, like, I don't. And maybe this is disrespectful to Bill Lazor, man. You go back around and you go, hey, Bill Lazor, I've looked at those offenses that he was the offensive coordinator of, and I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. That does not inspire me a whole bunch. And so I feel like if you're going to have a young guy in that situation where it is his offense, he needs to bring something special schematically, which I do not feel like. Or you need to have a level of experience in play calling in some of these situations so that you can helm all of this on your own. And it feels like Bobby Slowick is just not in the right place for his talents. I'm not saying that he's a bad offense coordinator or that he cannot be a good offense coordinator. This just does not feel like this is working for the situation that you have. And rather than waiting and trying to make those things fit together, I think that you have the opportunity to match what is, as you rightfully pointed out earlier, a championship caliber defense with an offense that at least is complementary to it and capable of accentuating what they have. Because you talked about it. You're right. You do have the quarterback for this.
Yeah.
You do have some incredible offensive, you know, keystones to work around.
Oh, yeah.
You
talk about pieces. They got
Nico
pieces.
Collins.
Yeah.
You talk about Joe Mixon. You do not want to waste that any more than you already have. I mean, hell, you were talking about Joe Mixon. Bring this back around because we made this all about the quarterback, but there's other facets of this. Again, you need the run to work. But the run did not work outside of Joe Mixon doing it on his own.
Yeah. And that is rough. And we've talked about it pretty much all show. About the changes that need to be made along the offensive line. But again, I'm just, if you're putting me on the spot and I got to make a decision, I'm staying with Slowick, but that's going to come with a lot of changes to the scheme. And now maybe you bring in another, someone to consult, and work with him and CJ.
Sure.
Not saying it has to be Peyton Manning, but someone along those lines that have been in those trenches and has had a lot of success in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
playing that quarterback position, can come in and consult, pay somebody to do that, bring them in.
And if you're paying somebody to come in at that point, why not pay somebody to take over?
But do you think a Peyton Manning wants to be the offensive coordinator though?
But
you know what I'm saying?
You're
not going to pay them what you're paying the offensive coordinator.
If you find someone who is capable of bringing those kind of answers, does it not reason to say that somebody who can come in and give you those types of answers to fix your offense might as well just run the offense?
Yeah, but somebody I'm talking about is probably not someone who's going to want to come in and do the daily grind of being the offensive coordinator. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about more of a consultant role. And I'm not talking about someone to come in and just fully replace. I mean, because if you're going to do that, then obviously, yeah, just go ahead and do that. I don't think that's... I just don't think that's the answer right
now. And at that point, that this is when we need to start digging into the names and the possibilities. I know people, especially after the national championship game, are looking at the likes of like Chip Kelly that has come up. And obviously, you immediately go to like the well of who are the guys in that, that further in that Shanahan tree that are, the quarterback coaches and the guys who are, following in that vein. In fact, in that audio that we heard from Peyton Manning talking about, hey, you don't want to change too much. And maybe if you're going to move on, you have someone that's in there. I know that you had the quarterback coach, Rod Johnson, of this team that people have looked at, but it feels like if you're going to make that move, you make it in order to make a distinct change away from what you've had. And again, Gerard Johnson would come in with a certain level of inexperience as well. Plus, if Gerard Johnson had the answers, I imagine some of those would filter up to Bobby Slowick. And I say
they would have been there already, you would think.
No disrespect to Gerard Johnson. This definitely feels like there's a level of experience that is necessary with this offense, especially you do not have the cover of having an offensive head coach who is going to come in and also give you game, right? It feels like you need a shift.
Yeah.
And if you were listening live to D'Amico Ryan's press conference, when he mentioned Bobby Slowick and the growth that he had this year, he kept that real, real short and sweet.
He didn't elaborate.
He did not.
Not too much.
And I mean, we might be reading too much into it, but
we probably are, but still.
Yeah,
what we heard, didn't seem like he wanted to go on and on about it.
No, and I don't know how much you can go on and on about the development of this offense under Bobby Slowick, and I think that's ultimately the issue. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll get Figgy on the phone in the next segment. How about that? Well, as a confession, we'll see how Figgy is doing. Right now, I did mention that we were going to give away 4 tickets to the Houston Automotive Show. Let's do that now. Caller number 10 will win a chance for those 4 tickets. The Houston Automotive Show, which is happening January 29th to February 2nd at NRG Stadium. 713-572-4610. That's the number to call. And then coming up next, we will indeed do our lunchtime confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, let's do some confessions here. And did you get Figgy on the phone, or are we going to get him on? Okay, we'll get him on later. So I will bring up this confession, which, you know what? I'm being lazy. I'm just going to bring the conversation we were having on air.
Let's do it.
Back up. I'm not certain Chip Kelly brings what we think he brings.
I'm right there with you.
Because Chip Kelly obviously is the name that starts being brought up as an offensive coordinator. And maybe I'm being unfair. I will need to go and do more of my legwork, and I'll admit that. I'll confess that part as well. But with Chip Kelly, the thing that made him great all the way back at Oregon was that, one, right, they used that Uncle Phil money, got them some speed, right? Mm-hmm. They had a lot of speed. And then Chip Kelly was on the cutting edge of some of this player performance stuff, tracking sleep, mm-hmm. all that type of stuff.
Head of the curve.
That works when you have a little bit of, a lot of autonomy and authority over the guys you're coaching. He went to Philly, and I understand the Philly the connection when D'Amico was like, one of the things that people are linking to. I don't think that worked as easily in Philly, and you lost that advantage because, it felt like it's not as easy to tell all these pros, these adults, that, hey, now I need you to track your sleeping and all this when you're not at work. That doesn't go over.
Go talk to
well.
Some of those offensive players that were there when Chip Kelly was there.
Yeah, it's always interesting to hear, like, the ways in which they did not seem to have the highest opinion of him. And, of course, people can grow and change. However, he went to UCLA, and when those advantages that he had when it came to, like, you know, some of those things, when they were not there anymore.
No.
And UCLA, admittedly, right, that is not a place that is easy to win.
No.
Right? So when he was coaching there. But then he goes to Ohio State and it looks good again. But you know why it looks good again? He's coaching at Ohio bleeping State, brother. Did you see Jeremiah Smith?
Yes.
Have you seen him? Have you seen him? How hard is it to get football to Jeremiah Smith?
Not very.
And this is probably, again, probably unfair. But like my read on is, it feels like, all right, we might be doing a little much.
I'll just say this. Be careful what you wish for.
On Chip Kelly.
With Chip Kelly. That's all. I'll leave it at that. Be careful what you wish for.
So
I don't think we want him here in Houston, to be very honest with you.
I am reserving some judgment there. However, I am not immediately going to that place.
Yeah. Okay, so my...
Hold on. We got to do this right here.
Oh, it's Figgy?
No, right here. Wait. It's a transition. I got you. No. There you go.
My bad.
Look, man.
I was ready to go.
You are pinch hitting here.
Man,
yeah, I understand. Like, you just got up all... You ain't getting no hacks or nothing, brother. Like, you jumped right in. So
He's already to try to hit a home run.
Exactly.
Hey, you know, I'm just trying to...
Let's put the ball in play, baby.
A little aggressive there.
It's all good.
My first confession, talked about, you know, spending the night at the station already, but, you know.
Yes, if you don't know, it's snowing out.
Yeah.
Makes it tough to trip. So, shout out to all the people at the station who made sure that they were on standby. Of course, Colin, one of those folks, and Chris as well, one of those folks. You guys actually stayed here at the station.
We stayed here.
To make sure that just in case someone like John Lopez couldn't make it in.
And I got up this morning, slept on one of the couches. I got up this morning and saw a text from the boss man, Parker, and I had about 40 minutes to get ready to come in here.
Hey, look
at
that.
I did not wash my face. I probably still got sleep in my eyes. That's my confession. I just got up and came in here and joined you guys and, you know, tried to start prepping.
If there was ever a day to do that, though, like, it feels like...
I was still wiping the coal out of my eyes when I walked into the studio with you guys.
I'm going to be very careful with the way that I say this because I never want anybody to be able to accuse me of being dirty or musty or any of those things. I feel like that is the biggest knock that you can have on someone, right?
What?
Like,
Oh yeah.
Calling them dirty or musty or something.
Yeah.
But I feel like, cause I am somebody, shower every single day.
Yeah.
Washcloth, wash my face separately, all that, right?
Yeah.
We staying as clean as possible. However, if there was a day where you get to be a little grimy, maybe don't change your clothes, maybe don't hop in the shower.
Get a pass.
It's the day where you're snowed in. And you are effectively snowed in. You have work snowed in, but you're effectively snowed in. So I feel like this is the day, this is the one where you get to like just get up and not have an opportunity to wash your face or nothing. I feel like this is the one where you're all right.
Now, once we get done here, I'm gonna go do that.
Yes,
but
for sure.
I'm gonna go handle my business.
Head over to the gym area.
Exactly. Yeah, I heard the gym on one of these floors, and we can go use the showers and all that stuff. And you know, but yeah, definitely go wipe the sleep out of my eyes. But that's my first confession.
Okay.
Sleep in my eyes.
All right. Good.
Didn't wash my face.
I'm glad. I'm glad that you have you've done that. You've washed your face. Got yourself to a better place. All right. I talked yesterday with Lopez about the college football playoff, like the general situation. And of course, shout out to Ohio State. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. Their national championship here.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like with the 12 team playoff, I will double down on the fact that I don't believe it's the best way
really?
Of determining a champion. And that's because there's not a good way of determining a champion of 130 schools or whatever. I just do
it's
not.
Tough.
There's not a way. That is like the best. It is a way, and I feel like there's clearly some advantages that I will admit, right? One of the things is it was nice to have the playoff run up where the entire sport is trained their eyes on this. So you get to know the players, not just like the people that are involved, like the schools and everything that are involved, but also the players themselves over this run on a national level. So like you get a feel for who these teams are over the, you know, three games or whatever that lead up to it. I appreciate that. That being said, hey man, I was 100% cool with the BCS in.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because again, there's not a good way to crown a champion. So you're just crowning a champion. So why not just have one game while also you still have like, you have regional fiefdoms of sorts, right? You have little domains that everybody has. And of course, the regional gets a little tough when you have the conference realignment or whatever. But there's these bowl games meant something. Like winning your conference meant, I mean, we're going to a place in the sport where the ACC is talking about not having the best record team play in the championship game because you basically had a situation where the team that was, SMU almost didn't get into the playoff because they almost lost the championship game. So they're doing this thing, or they're considering the idea of having the second and third best teams then play in the championship game so that you're not knocking your teams out. Like, we are all doing this gymnastics in order to get teams this playoff, and it siphons from the rest of the sport. Like, the rest of the sport suffers for this, man. And so I love the idea of having, like, the full kind of cultural tapestry all the way around college football. That's the stuff that's really more interesting to me about college football, and that's better about college football, is the tapestry that you have of 9-win teams having a great season because they won 10, right? Or a 7-win team having a great season because they won 8, as opposed to everybody vying for this one individual thing that I think in sports generally just makes us less happy. Having more things to attain, I think, is better because more teams can find success as opposed to everybody is vying for this one thing, which is making the playoffs and then winning this one trophy.
I do agree with one of your points there.
The rest of them, he's like, those are trash.
The rest of them, I don't know about the whole BCS thing. I wasn't a huge fan of that.
Bring back the BCS. Well, here's the thing, right? We just changed what the BCS was. Like, because the thing that I did not like about the BCS was, like, the coaches' poll being manipulated, people putting it to try and manipulate the system. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what we have? We have a committee of 13 people that are picking these teams that we don't even know what they're picking based off. In fact, I'm not sure they know what they're picking based off. So do you feel better about that?
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a criteria. Not like a distinct criteria.
I'm like,
that would help.
There's not a good way. We're going to complain about all this. So I would much rather have just let these two teams play in this national championship. And then these other bowl games are really fun. Right. Do you remember who played in the Rose Bowl this year?
That was going to be one of my points. The bowl games, they don't mean anything anymore.
I mean, they've taken all of the major bowl games and put them in as like a...
But they still don't mean what they used to.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
When they were just singular by the... Like when the...
Notre Dame won 2 bowls this year.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, no. I'm with you on that. The bowl games don't mean as much. But see, I'm a guy. I like tournaments in sports. I like a tournament.
A lot of people do.
I like it. I don't know. That's just me. I like a tournament to determine one winner. What did Colin say?
No, Colin.
Okay, I thought he had an opinion on that.
No, we're talking trash behind your back.
Oh, okay. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Go ahead. Colin was already talking trash, called me old last night. It's all good. Yeah,
Whoa, whoa.
But honestly, I feel like the old man right now. I'm the old man, like, raging against the machine. The conferences are not going back. We're not moving. Like, once you open the can on the playoff, it is there. I'm just
not going back now.
I just want to remind you guys that... You're not, and I said this honestly earlier, and of course I was not on these airwaves, for it to land, but I'm just like, it's not going to make you happier. It's going to be different. You're not going to be happier about
definitely
it.
Different.
And that's fine. Like, sometimes different is all you need, and it is interesting enough, and I'm here watching it, right? So I'm not going to pretend like I ran away from it, but it's not inherently better.
Well, it'll be a 16 soon enough, so.
Yes, it will.
They're going to keep expanding.
We're gonna have the NCAA. We're gonna have the March Madness.
Now, I hope it doesn't go that far.
It'll be the January Madness.
I hope it does not go that far.
There will be no conference schedule. You'll just go right into the tournament. 135 teams. We'll work our way down.
Oh my God.
That's what we'll do.
Okay, I got one.
All right, Colin, what you got for me?
I'm stuck.
Make it a good one.
I'm stuck right now.
All right.
I want to get myself something nice. I'm stuck between getting my own podcasting equipment or getting a nice Strat electric guitar. I'm stuck in the middle. I'm sometimes indecisive when it comes to spending money like this, because one of my New Year's resolutions was to learn an instrument, because I never really learned an instrument growing up, and I really want to learn how to play one, and the electric guitar was one of them. And I kind of wanted to ask y'all, because I want the podcasting going for my own personal project, but trying to learn how to play the electric guitar.
Podcasting equipment. I own my own podcasting equipment, and I've done podcasts in the past when I wasn't on radio.
And I happen to be selling podcasting equipment, so you should buy it.
No, yeah, I will. we're both in,
I mean, I know we're in this business, but at the same time, I want to learn how to play Metallica and, Van Halen and all the other good songs, because I love that music.
You've got time for that.
I feel like I profile as the logical one on the show, as like, okay, well, I will make the decision based on a spreadsheet. And this, and the text line also, I feel like, is making the logical case. Get the equipment, right? Everybody's like, oh, you working this? If you're doing a podcast or doing that type of stuff, I am going to go the other way.
Oh, really?
I'm, and maybe I'm just doing it to be contrarian in this moment.
I think you are a little bit. I think so.
Hey, man, get the guitar. I can hear it in your voice that you're just like, you are infatuated with this thing. And I feel like that one is a space of joy as opposed to, and correct me if I'm wrong, I could be reading this wrong. It feels like the podcast equipment you're getting out of some level of necessity. Like, that's not going to be like, yo, I'm doing this for the fun of it. It sounds like you're doing the guitar thing for the fun of it. Go with the fun right now.
I think he enjoys both, though. Yeah, the both of them would be for fun. I mean, obviously, the price range is totally different.
Because I would like to. What is the price range that we're talking about?
I mean, there's a good guitar for $179, but the thing is, it's not just the guitar itself; it's also the amplifier.
Sure, no, I mean, understood. Yeah, man, go for the fun of it. Get you that guitar,
okay?
Podcasting equipment. We'll talk off air because, like I said, I can point you in some directions of some different things.
All right. Let Colin know on the text line. 713-572.
Help our man Colin out.
The only person that has weighed in has said get the equipment. That's where they are. Everybody's saying the podcast equipment. But I don't know. I'm looking into your eyes. I saw your face when you started talking about the guitar. It seems like that thing is going to make you happy. And you know what?
Did his face light up? Did he light up?
It kind of did.
Did he? Okay.
It looked like it. And now, look, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe you get that guitar. You get frustrated after two lessons, and it ends up looking like a decoration in your apartment. I don't know. Maybe that's what it looks like.
Now, have you ever taken any lessons yet?
No. He plans on taking lessons.
I don't know if I want to get lessons elsewhere. I know we're up against it, so I'll be quick. I don't know if I want to get lessons elsewhere, just do it on my own, just use YouTube, but, you know.
Hey, YouTube is a machine, man. You can learn anything on YouTube now. You can learn just about anything on
YouTube. It is true. They call it YouTube University. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We got Figgy? No? All right. We'll see if we can get... I'm just going to keep... You know what? We haven't even called John in a little bit either.
We do need to call Lopez back.
We've just been letting him off the hook. Unbelievable. All right. Coming up next, I promise we'll get John. We might get Figgy. And let's do a mid-season Rockets check-in. They have reached the mid-season, halfway point. Let's check in on the Rockets. We'll do it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right. You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Adetula, Chris Partee in for John Lopez, and Colin Neal on the ones and twos on this snowy day in Houston. We're wondering why John Lopez is not in. Well, he was trying to come in, and then he caught a hill that he could not traverse, and then he just decided, well, we're going back home. So in order to make sure that he is earning his paycheck for the day, on the phone line now is John Percival Lopez. Lopez, what's happening?
Hey, I'm not going anywhere, man. Trust me on that. Literally.
Yeah, that's
I'll
right.
be here.
That's right. Yeah. We appreciate you continually answering our phone calls because Figgy is not, and that makes me really questionable on if he will make it in tomorrow. Maybe that flu is still hitting him. I don't know.
Hey, he's probably just sleeping.
He might be sleeping.
He's probably knocked out right now.
A great snow day concept. All right, Lopez, what we're doing here is that we are going to go ahead and, as I just got an update, that apparently there's going to be another change on the lineup today with the drive that I'll tell you about later.
All right.
We want to do the mid-season check-in with the Houston Rockets. And so I just want to go ahead and get your letter grade for the Rockets' first half of the season, Lopez.
Oh, letter grade? Man, I don't see how you can do anything, but I'll say A-. I was going to say A, but I'm going to say A-. There are still some things that might need to be tweaked a little bit. Maybe you're going to see some other things different, and they haven't exactly, played consistently all year long. No team does, but you'd like to have seen more. Yeah, I'm going to say A-. I think about this, man. I mean, what we were expecting and what we've gotten, especially from Jalen Green and obviously Amon Thompson. I mean, maybe some of the injuries are going to, hit that grade a little bit, but man, I got to say A-.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the check-in. We will be calling back again soon.
Oh, that's it?
Yep. Yep. I'm just trying to keep you on your toes.
You that's really hard.
I'm on my toes. I told my wife, I said, I got to be by my phone. I got to be
that's
by
right.
my phone.
That's right.
I think Figgy is playing snow tackle football, at least judging from his last
tweet. Maybe he lost his phone, too.
Oh, did he tweet? Okay, well, good. Well, that's excellent. I just wanted, he better not be out there too long. He's going to get pneumonia and then miss some more time on the show. I don't need that happening.
Should I try calling him back again?
I think he was talking about it. But yeah, man. Hey, just out of curiosity, what are y'all's grades?
Oh, the grades on this Rockets team?
I'm gonna go B plus right now.
B plus.
Yeah, I'm gonna go B plus. I need to see that offense gets stagnant sometimes, and not a great shooting team right now. And then you know, sometimes defensively, I think they are phenomenal. Like Ime Udoka in 2 years has just turned that team around defensively. But you know, I always like to think there's a lot more room for improvement. So I'm gonna go B plus.
Yeah, I'm not gonna hold back. I will be very permissive in this. I'm giving them a straight flat A. Like based off of what the expectation was this season, they were hoping to be a playoff team. Right now, they are solidified as a tier two team. If you're gonna consider that the Thunder, I think, are in a tier by themselves right now. They're up there, especially in the West, and I feel like that means a good amount. Like this defense has proven that it is going to hold up under a certain level of stress testing. A funny thing to say after they lost to the Pistons, but you know what I mean. Like, you've seen it.
Yeah.
One of the games.
And then offensively, they have found a lot more than I thought was possible with how little shooting that they have. They have a pathway. And then, I mean, it's hard to ignore Jalen Green finding his level of stride. Again, odd to say after a game where he had not the best shooting night, but he's had an extended stretch of playing at a higher level.
Yeah.
The interesting thing for me is that, sorry, I got you with I'd be looking away from things. So you thought I was looking at something important. Nope, just looking at NRG Stadium. But yeah, going back to this, Alperen Şengün's like seeming downtick in scoring and shooting around the rim has been really weird, because that's one of the big things is he's a great post player. He has really good post moves. He's just not finishing at as good of a clip. And that's been a frustrating thing, because for a little bit of time, if you had told me that it was like a couple of weeks, maybe a month, I'd go, all right, it happens, right? This has been half a season now where he has had a weird lack of touch around the rim.
Yeah.
That is a little concerning for me. He's added some, you know, some defensive play. Like, he's definitely improved his defense this season. That's one of those things where I go, huh, what is happening there? And could that be an issue? Because it feels like if you're not going to be a team that scores at a high clip you need to make sure that when you're in at the paint at those, you know, the best shot in basketball, that you're putting those down at a higher rate.
Got to capitalize on those opportunities. Yeah, all the time.
All right. That sounds fantastic. I'm going to get back to eating my Frito pie.
Frito pie. Oh, okay.
Enjoy that. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, enjoy that.
It's the perfect snow food. You got me thinking about chili yesterday, so... we made some Frito pie.
Okay, I would say I was going to come get it, but I don't know how I would traverse.
No,
that.
No, you don't want to come down this hill, man.
All right, Lopez.
All right, boys.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, John.
There he goes. That is the snowed in John Lopez. And we got a little bit. He gave us a little insight. Good for him. He gave us a little reporting into Figgy. Figgy's out here gallivanting in the snow.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so coming into we gave the overall letter grade, and maybe letter grades is the best way to do it. Text yours in 713-572-4610. What letter grade would you give the coaching, Ime Udoka and his staff, in the first half of this Rocket season?
I'm an Ime Udoka guy. I love his cult, the culture he's brought and implemented here. So I'm going to give him an A like you did.
Okay.
Like you did the team, but I'll give him an A.
Yeah. The interesting part about the coaching aspect.
Or him and his staff, I should
yes,
say.
Yes. The interesting thing about the coaching aspect of this is, you have some questions that I don't think are necessarily like inherently bad, but questions about how you split up minutes. It's a very difficult task. This is one of the things that had all these people around the NBA looking at this Rockets team and saying, oh, they're going to trade, they're going to consolidate, because you had a ton of guys that you wanted to try and get minutes and only a finite amount of minutes to dole out. And there was a moment in time where people were looking at, why can't Reed Sheppard get on the floor? In fact, right now he's getting, RGV minutes, right? In order to just some G League minutes in order to try to keep him going and continue his development.
Yeah.
Kent Whitmore was a very interesting case there, where he had some responses in the media that was like, hey, is he happy with his circumstance?
That was like back around Christmas or something.
It was.
Yeah,
and that was right when you had some injuries where he finally got a chance to play. Now, as he's gotten more time to play, he's produced one well, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, and then, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two, You know, it seems like he has found, or maybe it found isn't the right way, but he's displayed even more so, like, that energy and vibe around the team, that close-knit nature that this team has. So, like, that is good, but it's like, man, that is a tough area to have to navigate. And I think for the most part, they've done that fairly well. And they've done a good job of bringing some of these guys along. They believed very heavily in Jalen Green and his ability to reach the place that he is attempting to reach. And yeah. I feel like nearing. And they've done a good job bringing him along. You've seen some of these guys who are not necessarily defensively inclined find some more defense in Alper and Şengün. I think that they've done a phenomenal job here. But I think for them, the real test is not even just the second half. But once you get to the playoffs, once you get this team to the playoffs, just how prepared are they for this? And that might be unfair to ask of just an inexperienced team. The only team players on this team that have playoff experience, at least of the major rotation when everybody's healthy, are Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks. So yeah. That's going to be
it's going to be
a training ground, yeah. But I'm interested to see how they handle that. But to this point, yeah, an A is, I think, the right answer.
Yeah.
Hasn't Steven Adams not been in the playoffs before?
Steven Adams has been. Absolutely has. Definitely. But he's been in and out with some of these injuries that they've kind of gone up and down with. But yeah, man, at the midseason mark, it feels like this team deserves a ton of credit. Sustainability has been a question that I've been asking. Are you at a place where you're willing to just like, hey, man, I'm not worried about sustainability anymore. I'm sold because you've made it through halfway through the season. Not an insignificant task.
Yeah, I think they're here for the long haul. I think there'll be, you know, I said this, I guess, going back probably to late November, early December, that I think that they can finish top four. Obviously, we know that they're top two right now. I think they're going to stay up towards the top of the Western Conference. And a lot of that goes to the culture that MA has brought to this team and has them playing guys that, like you mentioned, guys that weren't necessarily known for playing defense. You got guys playing defense now. Now, you bring in a Fred VanVleet, and then you bring in a Dylan Brooks. That obviously helps, but I always like to say that, you know, and it's true, defense is about effort. If you get guys wanting to play defense, you go a lot further.
A
lot of guys don't want to play defense.
You can go a lot further. I always kind of, I don't know.
I'm a big defensive guy.
I am as well.
Just personally, I'm a big defensive guy.
I always, like, effort is absolutely necessary in energy, but I feel like sometimes we go so far in talking about effort that we forget, there's some defensive talent that comes in.
Oh, of course,
here, right?
Yeah. But when you talk about guys that aren't necessarily the most gifted defensively, that's where the effort comes into play.
Yeah.
You got to get them in the mindset to where they actually want to go out there and stop guys.
100%. And they have existed in that. I think the one thing about it is now, as you've kind of, you know, or earlier on, I guess I talked about the idea of, hey, they were expecting to be a playoff team. That was the goal. Yeah. Now, how do you shift or have you shifted at all your expectations of this team the second half and towards the end of the season?
My expectation at this point is I think they can win a playoff matchup first round.
Is that a change for you? Did you think that was a possibility before?
If we're talking about coming into the season,
mm-hmm.
No. Okay. I thought, you know, at best, you know, maybe they finish top six.
And I don't think that's unfair.
Yeah. You know, maybe they finish top six, get to the first round, and, you know, go out in, you know, 5-6 games. But now, I almost expect them to win in the first round. I really do.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's going to be dependent on matchups and who they match up with. We don't know who that is right now, obviously, but I almost expect them to win in the first round. Now, the second round, that's going to get a little dicey. You know, it's just going to depend on who they're going to play. Now, if it's going to be Memphis at number three, they've had Memphis's number this season.
They sure have.
That doesn't always mean much when you get to the postseason, though. We've seen it in the past where a team will dominate another team in the regular season and then get to the postseason. It's a different story. But, you know, if I had to pick one, obviously I'm going to go with the Rockets over Memphis right now because they obviously do have their number. We got to get there, but yeah, I expect them to win a first round.
It's funny,
matchup.
I'm in the same place.
I really do.
I expect them to win a first round matchup and have a solid chance at winning in the second round. Which, I mean, that feels like what we're talking about when you talk about a young team of this caliber. It's, in fact, going to Oklahoma City Thunder, but not this current iteration. You remember the iteration?
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
James Harden, mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook. That was where they
Steven Adams.
That was
on that team, they, right?
Yeah, man. Those young, like, they that was the place that they made it to early on as well, making it to that Western Conference Finals, and then going and cutting their teeth in a different way. So yeah, man. It is a huge credit to the Houston Rockets team. They made it halfway through. They should continue their season.
I think so.
Into the second half of the season on Wednesday versus the Cavs. It feels like that should be able to happen.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm not speaking off of anything that has happened. Now, there hasn't been any news or
about a cancellation or anything.
But
no.
Yeah, it's just a question that I have when you're looking outside and you see that Houston is shut down.
Yeah.
You know,
5 inches of snow.
Yeah. We'll see.
In certain areas.
That's right. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's talk about that national championship game that happened yesterday, and we'll do it by with a man from The Ringer. He works at The Ringer. His name is Joel Anderson. We'll talk to Joel Anderson about the national championship Ohio State won next.